Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Europe, watching the inauguration of Donald John Trump and listening very keenly to the talk of tariffs, challenging. One of the remarks that the president has made is that there's a trade imbalance with Europe, our trading partner, our ally. We buy goods and food from Europe. Europe does not buy a counterbalancing product from us, Mr. Trump says, buy energy. Sounds neat. I go to Antonio Calabasciano of Geopolitical Futures and a professor at the National University in Bucharest, Romania, for her essay on where we are right now in Europe, the challenges for Europe. Certainly Donald J. Trump's tariffs are one of those challenges. There are others. Antonio, a very good evening to you. We're all watching Germany. The election is soon enough in February, and which way Germany goes will determine a deal of the European Union in these next years. Might not be the only country that matters. It's certainly a dominant one. And the challenge in Germany is the challenge you write across the European Union. Populism in Germany, that's Alternative for Deutschland. In France, it's the National Rally. In Spain, it's Vox. The Brotherhoods of Italy in Italy, and the reform movement in London. That's enough. However, populism challenges the established order. You also mentioned economic discontent. Germany, for the second year in a row, is flatlining. We call it a recession. And foreign affairs. Let's deal with populism and economic discontent first. Is that something unusual for Europe? Is it restless? Because it's always been slow growth, having to do with your social programs, quite dominant in the budget. Good evening to you, Antonia.
Good evening. Well, no. I mean, if we take Europe historically, we do see populism rising up, or a form of alternative politics, if you will, whenever there is social discontent because of economic problems. So right now, Europe is dealing with social discontent. And while much of the populism that we know, we call rightly or wrongly to be right wing, because there has been a rise in nationalism as well, something that all the populist movements that you've mentioned are very much talking about, and something that is also very much normal for Europe historically. We also have a left-wing resurgent populism, or even a left-wing extreme populism that is growing across Europe. And Germany is indeed the major test case for both. So we have elections in February. The Alternative for Deutschland is the most talked about party. We call it to be a radical populist right-wing party. That's how the media has defined it throughout the years. But at the same time, and we have talked about this during our discussions, well, we also have a left-wing party that is coming up, which is the Alliance of Sarah Wagenknecht, which is basically a party that is running on a left-wing platform, which is a mixture of Marxism, Leninism, social democracy that is very much going into the extreme left. And that is probably the surprise that has happened in 2024, and that will be very closely monitored by everyone doing geopolitics, because obviously the extremes in Germany tend to be the rule for other European states. And when the extremes are getting closer, then there is this idea of major instability happening in the European continent, with Germany being also in a very slow growth mode, if not a recession. Everything seems to talk about a sort of a perfect storm over Western Europe. So in many ways, France and Italy right now are more stable, better positioned, even if, you know, saying that Italy and Italian politics are stable is something kind of funny when we think about it. Or France, considering the protests that and the strikes going on, again, is kind of funny considering France stable. But compared to Germany and what Germany could face should populist parties get into power and should the left-wing party get into the Bundestag, plus the economic slowdown, I think we might be looking to something else.
Ukraine, big story, foreign affairs challenging. We have Donald J. Trump saying that he wants to deal directly with Moscow, and Moscow saying, in the person of President Putin, wants to deal directly to Washington. You write that this is not good news for Europe. How so?
Well, indeed. I mean, this is also tied to what you mentioned in the opening, to the extent of Europe consolidating its independence from Russian energy and going towards the U.S. But nevertheless, the Europeans not being at the table, they might be on the menu, considering that neither of the great powers want to deal with them in what regards Ukraine. But Ukraine is very much a question of European stability. So right now we are seeing a weakened Europe, because Europe was never united, and therefore it getting more into a crisis of its own means that it is weakened. And we are also seeing a challenged Europe when it comes to where to go to get that economic stability that would eventually bring political stability back. And that's the energy question that you raised at the very beginning, with the U.S. being a solution eventually. But that is a political decision that the Europeans have to make. And it's quite difficult considering we have an election year coming up in Germany, the central power of Europe. And that country that has, has had traditionally the largest dependency on Russia. So it is Germany ultimately that needs to make a call, and that needs to say what its relationship with the U.S. will be, but only after the elections. So right now we are dealing with a transition mode. We are dealing with two powers that are setting up the destiny of Ukraine while setting up the destiny of Europe when Europe is not ready. So clearly not good news for
China,
Europe.
China, quickly. Is China an alternative for Europe? Can Europe trade and sell to China and empower itself without need of the U.S.?
I don't believe so, because China has pretty much the same goal as Russia has had in terms of using the divergent interests of European states and maintaining access to the European market. But that doesn't mean that it is an alternative itself for European products. So in many ways, China is both a supplier and a problem for Europe. It is a supplier for whatever Europe needs in the very same way that it has been a supplier for the U.S. and it is dependent on Europe. But at the same time, it is a problem for Europe because you never know what and when the supply chains may have a problem or what the Chinese party may decide with regards to something related to one of your strategic industries, which is why the Europeans have followed the decoupling in a more diplomatic way, calling it de-risking, but eventually basically saying, well, we really need to look at what China is for us. Is it a competitor? Is it for the U.S. market, for instance, or for the global posture when it comes to global economy? Or is it really a partner? And things are very much shadowy when it comes to the relationship between the Europeans and the EU itself with China, because there is no united Europe. And there are many European states that have particular relationships with China, not to mention that China has very much invested in corridors, in ports, in building its way into Europe and making sure that it controls the way in and out of the European market, which is not something that the Europeans regard as being a good thing, especially now when they see what dependencies have transformed into with regards to Russia.
Antonio Colabasciano, a geopolitical analyst for Geopolitical Futures and a professor at the National University in Bucharest, Romania. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.